Good morning, everybody, and a warm welcome to our service this morning. My apologies for standing here yet again. All I would say is, get used to it. I wasn't planning to have intimations printed in the month of July, but there's a few things have arisen this week, so I printed them out for you, so please have a look at them later. What I did receive on Thursday was a letter from Clyde Presbytery. Dear Ministers, Interim Moderators and Kirk Sessions, following the recent meeting on the 20th of June of Clyde Presbytery, we now have an approved mission plan for Clyde Presbytery. We are now at the end of the 14-day period for reviews to be intimated in line with the Presbytery Mission Plan Act. I can confirm that we have received three reviews from Kirk Sessions during this period. These reviews are not in relation to the substance or process of the entire plan, but are instead challenging particular decisions on local situations. These reviews will be heard and considered by the Mission Plan Review Group in line with the schedule appended to the Act. This does not mean that our entire mission plan has been suspended. However, the Act clearly states that any provision of the mission plan which is not affected by a request for review may be progressed under Section 4 while the review is pending. Our intention, that's Presbytery's intention, is to start moving ahead as quickly as possible with the implementation of the plan. Considering that we've been in an impasse for several years now, we very much want to see vacancies being taken forward as soon as possible, especially those that are not dependent on any adjustments being made. We are planning to meet as the new implementation committee fairly soon and will provide further details and a plan for progress afterwards. So that's the latest from Presbytery. The plan has now been accepted and approved, and a committee of Presbytery will start looking at the vacancies. So that's you up to date, that's all I can tell you, and I'll certainly keep you posted what happens thereafter. I have another announcement to make regarding the electoral register. Notice is hereby given that in view of the vacancy in this congregation of Mulgay St Paul's linked with Baldernock, the Kirk Session of St Paul's is about to make up an electoral register. This electoral register is a list of those who will be eligible to vote when the time comes to elect a nominating committee and subsequently in the election of a new minister. If your name and current address are already on the communion roll, then you will automatically be placed on the electoral register. You will need to take no further action. If you're a regular worshipper here, but still a member of another congregation, and you wish to participate in the election of a minister in this congregation of Mulgay St Paul's linked with Baldernock, then you should arrange to hand to the session clerk a valid certificate of transference before the Kirk Session meets. If you're a regular worshipper here and not a member of this or any other congregation, then the Kirk Session can add your name to the electoral register as an adherent. If you wish the Kirk Session to consider this, you should obtain a form from the session clerk, complete it, and return it before the Kirk Session meets. And the Kirk Session will meet on Sunday, the 30th of July, 2023, immediately after the morning service, to accept the electoral roll. And a reminder to the Kirk Session and Board that there will be a meeting this morning, immediately after this service. And I think, Interim Moderator, that's all I have to say at this stage. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you got all of that. In the next few weeks, there will be many intimations, and we will try and make them as painless as possible for us. But there are certain ways that we have to do things, and that's just how it's done. In every age and in every place, you call your people to worship. In every hour of every day, you invite us to seek you. In this place and at this time, We come to worship you. We begin our worship this morning in the hymn 404, Let All the World in Every Corner Sing. Come before God in prayer, let us pray. Gracious God, we come this morning into your house to be in your presence. As we come to worship, we ask that you open our ears so that we may hear you. Open our minds so that we may know your leading and your guidance. Open our hearts so that we may receive your wonderful love. As we come before you, we come as we are, known by you and called by name. May we feel your presence this day. Creator God, we take this day as a special day to celebrate the goodness of the world you have made for us. The world you sustain, the world filled with beauty. We take this day as a special day. Forgive us when we take it as the only day to rejoice and be glad in all you have given us. Gracious God, open our hearts this morning so that we are able to admit to you the times when we have failed you, the times when we have been less than you would have wanted us to be. Deepen within us any sorrow for the wrong we may have done and any good that we have left undone. Hear us now as we come together in the prayer taught to us by Jesus himself, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Good morning. How are you all? A bit sleepy this morning. Is that the holidays kicking in? First week gone, is that right? Only another 6 to go. 5 or 6, it depends which local authority you're in. Well, if you were here last week, you would have known that we were talking about love and about how good it was if you gave it away, wasn't it? Magic penny song. Well, I've got something to show everyone today because I got 2 beautiful cards from Sunday Club last week. I had given them cards to go and make so that they could take one to someone they loved and to give it away. And I was so delighted when I, at the end of the service, got 2 cards. Now, you don't know how happy this made me because I have picked them up often this week off my mantel shelf and looked at them, and it made me think and smile of you. The first one was a beautiful tree with a squirrel. I don't think everybody will see it. And when you opened it up, this was what I thought was lovely. There was the penny and a lovely message. Unfortunately, the penny has fallen off. Must be sitting at home. And the second one was all about love is something, if you give it away, you end up having more, just like a lucky penny. And this one had 3 pennies on it. And it said underneath it, share your love and watch it grow. Now, I thought these were very profound words. And love, it says with love from the Sunday Club. So I just wanted everybody to see your lovely cards. And I'll take them back and put them on my shelf again. And it'll remind me when I look at them all about you. So we were talking last week about the fact that Jesus gave us a commandment. To love God was our first commandment. But we're to love other people. And that's what we were doing. Jesus was very, very fond of children. And do you know that one time he had to speak quite sternly to his disciples? I'm just going to read a wee bit from my Bible this morning. And this is what happened. It was probably a very busy day. And there was loads and loads of people around Jesus, as there always was. But anyway, this is what Matthew wrote. He said, some people brought children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. But the disciples scolded the people. But Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not stop them, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And then he placed his hands on them and then went away. So that was their story of how we know that Jesus really loved children. And it made me start thinking about all the children in the world. Have you ever stopped for a minute to think about children in the world? Probably not, because we're all very busy, aren't we, doing all the things. But I think I was watching a news report earlier in the week, and it made me think about all the boys and girls in the world that weren't as fortunate as ourselves here in this country. I think it was when I was watching the news about Palestine and Israel, the Holy Land, which is again at war, which isn't good. But it made me think about children and what we can do. And I thought, I wonder if you're up for another challenge this week. Are you? Have you ever made dolls that join together, children that join together? Do you know how to do it? Are you sure you know how to do it? Because I thought I knew how to do it yesterday. And all I ended up was with a lot of pieces of paper on the floor because I hadn't got it right. But I think I've got it right now. Let's see what's in this bag. I thought I had everything organised. Well, what you have to do is to get a piece of paper. Now, it can be any size of paper, but the bigger you get, the more folds you have to have. So if you're trying it out, I recommend just a wee piece of paper about that size. Right? So you fold it in half, and then you fold it back the way in half, then you fold the other side in half. Is that right? How many halves have I got there? Watch this falling apart. And then, just with a pencil, you very quickly draw a head. This is my magic pencil. Do you want to see what it can do? It goes into an afro. So you simply draw a picture of a person. Let's see if I can get this right. And then you cut it. So, fingers crossed. Not pointing scissors at you, but that's just where we are. Let's see. Then you cut it all the way around. Praying now that I've done it the right way. This one's not going to be a very neat one. Let's see. Two more cuts and we'll find out if we can make a freeze. Fingers crossed. Let's see. So glad that worked this morning. So glad. But you know, you can make really long ones. And I'm maybe going to leave you to work out how you do that one. It's not as easy as doing four, I can tell you. And you can do ones with boys and girls. You can do all sorts. Then you can have fun, like I did in here, and start putting some nice smiley faces on them. And then I think the best thing to do is simply in the hall to put them up so everybody can see them. So I brought you some paper. I'm sure you've got scissors. If you're really brave, you go into the big sheet, right? But tell me how you get on, because it's good fun. And it reminds us of all the good things in our world. Also, it reminds us that we have to think and pray for other boys and girls in our world where they do not have all the nice things that we have, because it must be very hard to live where things are not so good. So we're going to sing a song which I have been singing, I think, since I was a little girl. What's the number, she says? 225, that's what the number is. He's got the whole world in his hands. And I hope you know all the actions. Do you? Whole world in his hands. Got it, we've got it down here. He's got the whole world in his hands. The hymn number 225.
Thank you. We will now sing our prayer for understanding, which is Mission Praise 237. Please remain seated while we sing this hymn. That's Mission Praise 237. This morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 4, at verse 32 to the end of the chapter. It's titled The Believers Share Their Possessions. That's Acts chapter 4 at verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sale, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Amen. May God bless the reading and hearing of his word. Our next singing is from Mission Praise 323. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. That's Mission Praise 323.
Let us pray. Loving God, open our minds to your word and our hearts to your love this day. Amen. During July and August, I give myself a holiday. No, I don't go off to some far distant land, or my holiday is that each week I allow myself to put the lectionary to one side and to preach on different passages of the Bible. We all have favourite passages and readings, and you know, it's very easy to preach on the ones you like. I have to admit a liking for Paul's letters to the early church. And last week I used his letter to the people of Corinth about love. And another book that I like reading is the Acts of the Apostles. And this morning we heard the reading from chapter 4. The Acts of the Apostles is one of the books in our Bible that really gives us a great insight into what was happening after the death of our Lord. In some quarters, it's sometimes known as the Acts of the Spirit, and I can see how that got there. It tells how the followers of Jesus began to form themselves into what we now call the early church. They began to form themselves into communities, or as some write, fellowships of all believers. There's almost universal agreement that the writer of the Acts of the Apostles was the same author who wrote the Gospel according to Luke. The rationale of this is, firstly, they both address the same individual, Theophilus. In the Act of the Apostles, the writer refers to the former book that he wrote. And the two books, well, they share a common style and vocabulary, And lastly, they share the same common theological themes and emphasis within them. Luke was a physician, perhaps a part-time missionary, an associate of the Apostle Paul. We know this because Paul refers to Luke as dear friend. It is believed that Luke was with Paul during his time of imprisonment and in the last days before his martyrdom. Luke was certainly there when all the action was taking place, and his knowledge of events is second to none. Luke was writing at a time when there was increasing animosity between the early Christians and their Jewish opponents. Both Jews and Christians are claiming to be the true people of God. Now, all of this animosity is challenging to the early church. And so Luke writes to respond to these charges. He does this by affirming the gospel and those who are its messengers, the apostles. Luke's overall purpose then is to reassure the readers of the truth of Christ's resurrection and of his command to be in fellowship with one another, to reaffirm Christ's example and his teachings. The image of the followers of Jesus that is illustrated in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles this morning is all about fellowship. It's all about being together, working together, a community of all believers. In this short reading, we hear about the believers sharing their possessions. In this summary about the early church, we hear about the growth and witness of the church. The prime focus is on that community of believers, its unity and generosity with one another. The early church was not only meeting the command of Jesus, but it was meeting God's requirement in the Old Testament, as contained in the book of Deuteronomy at chapter 15. Like a family, they are willing to give up their own personal needs to meet the needs of other people. It should be said that this way of living was voluntary, not forced or coerced, but free sharing of possessions. It has been said that this is a very high ideology that was set forth in the early church, but its roots were in the Old Testament, and of course they come from the example and ministry of Christ. Now, these communities of believers worked for a certain period of time. I make the assumption that for those who lived at the time of Jesus and had witnessed his teaching, it would be the right way of living. It was what their master had wanted them to do, to love one another and to care about one another, living as a community of all believers, sharing his teaching. But as time moved on, the social order changed, and very soon after the formation of the early church, Christians were forced to make different choices. Some Christians were persecuted during the early years, but this was spasmodic. It was in the 4th century that the great persecution took place. And it was only after Constantine declared Christianity to be the official religion of the Roman Empire that things settled, and thereafter the Christian church began to formalise itself. Now, some would say that it was then that things started to become a little complicated. And the concept of sharing of possessions that we read about in the Acts of the Apostles this morning diminishes into the history of the church. In the challenging world of our church today, the question is this: do these few verses of scripture that Luke recounted have a message for us this morning? Remember the words. All the group of believers was one in mind and heart. No one said that any of his belongings was his own, but they all shared with one another everything they had. Our world and our community is a very different place from the world of the first century when Luke was writing, probably around 70 AD. Today, no Christians would be expected to say that none of their belongings were their own and that they would share everything with one another. Society just doesn't work like that. Today, we all have individual responsibility for ourselves and collective responsibility for our families and communities. Now, that is not to say that we simply look after ourselves and forget others. We are all right, Jack. Let's pull the ladder up. Of course not. Our faith requires us to think on others and to help out in the best ways that we can. And that will differ for the mission of our church and for individual Christians. Some may be in a position that allows them to contribute on a large scale, and for some, it is in small giving. For all, it should include the praying for those in need. Perhaps answering the question of that well-known hymn, "When I needed a neighbour, were you there?" I believe that the message from this example of our early Christianity is this: that the group of believers was one in mind and in heart. Those who had gathered together to proclaim their acceptance of Christ were in one mind and heart, believing what the apostle said as they gave witness to the resurrection of their master, Jesus Christ, and to his teachings. And I believe that is where we are today, a church in one mind and heart, individuals in one mind and heart. My second question for today is this: what does being in one mind and heart mean? I do not think it means that we all agree about everything, all of the time. But I do think this: it is about being a community of believers who come together not only in worship, but in fellowship with each other. It is about being a community of God's people, sharing whenever we can, helping when we can, meeting together when we can, and above all, being seen to be his followers. Have you ever been asked the question, why do you go to church on Sunday? As a minister of Word and Sacrament, I am expected to be in church on a Sunday. But if you were asked that question, wow, what would you say? I think there would be so many different answers, but we'd hope that it would be somewhere in the myriad of answers would be the coming together in fellowship in one mind. Charles Spurgeon, the highly influential Baptist preacher of the 19th century, was often called the Prince of Preachers. And he answered that question thus: some go to church to take a walk. Some go there to laugh and talk. Some go there to meet a friend. Some go there their time to spend. Some go there to meet a lover. And some go there a fault to cover. Some go there for speculation, and some go there for observation. Some go to doze and nod, but the wise go there to worship God. The wise go to church to worship God, and so we come to church this Sunday, the community of believers, those who believe in the risen Lord, who lives in our hearts today and forever. All glory be to him. Amen. We continue our worship now in the morning anthem, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. Thanks be to God for his praise in music. We pray now for our world. Let us pray. Everlasting God, we bring our prayers to you, Lord of all nations, asking that your blessing of love and peace may be known to all people everywhere. in the world of today, nations are at war. We pray for every nation where there is no peace. We pray especially for the people of the Holy Land and the Ukraine. May there be a laying down of arms. We pray for those who fear tomorrow. May your spirit of comfort be with them. Loving God, we pray for the communities of our world where harvests have been poor, where there is a shortage of food and people go hungry this day. May your spirit of comfort be with them. Living God, we raise before you all those who seek healing of body, mind or spirit. May they feel your peace and presence as they journey towards healing and wholeness. May your spirit of comfort be with them. Living God, be with those who mourn this day. Ease long and lonely days. May your spirit of comfort be with them. We pray this day for your church, Lord. We pray for its ministers, elders and congregations. May they be encouraged and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. May all help in the spreading of the good news. We remember the communion of saints and all who have gone before us, trusting and serving their Lord and Redeemer. At this time of change and uncertainty, we place our hope and trust in you, Lord, whose love never fails. Lord of all nations, we ask that you accept our prayers and that your will be done on earth and more of your kingdom revealed to all who seek you. Accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Lord and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. We bring our time of fellowship to a close as we sing the hymn number 704, Through the Love of God Our Saviour, All Will Be Well. go now in peace. Into God's gracious care and protection I commit you. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you love, this day and forevermore.